te whānau o Auckland Unitarians, me ngā Unitarians o te ao. Tēnā koutou ngā manuhiri. Nau mai, haere mai. Haere mai ki tō tātou whānau. Haere mai ki te hui o te rā nei. Ko Rachel McIntosh tōku ingoa, ko te kai kōrero o te rā. Nō reira, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou, tēnā rā tātou katoa. Greetings to Auckland Unitarians, Unitarians of the world, and to our visitors. Welcome to those in the building, those on Zoom, and those watching at a later time. Welcome to our whānau. Welcome to this space made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for more than 122 years. My name is Rachel McIntosh, and I will be leading our service this morning. Mā te whakarongo ka mōhio, mā te mōhio ka marama. Mā te marama ka mātou, mā te mātou ka ora. Through listening comes knowledge, through knowledge comes understanding, through understanding comes wisdom, through wisdom comes well-being. This past week has been the week of International Working Women's Day, and this is the theme for our service today. These words from Bread and Roses launch us this morning. As we go marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing their ancient call for bread. Small art and love and beauty, their drudging spirits new. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. As we go marching, marching, we're standing proud and tall, for the rising of the women means the rising of us all. The words for the chalice lighting today are from Michelle Leggett's poetry collection, Milk and Honey. There is the first step to where you are, the bridge of the sun, the bridge of the sea, the bridge of the stones. Yes, I can follow. I know what to do. I walk out to where the sun bridge starts and call over the water. I walk out to where the moon bridge starts and sing the footstep of light. Now I invite you, if you choose, to speak the words of our church's covenant. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. And now a reading. This is They Shut Me Up in Prose by Emily Dickinson. They shut me up in prose as when a little girl, they put me in the closet because they liked me still. Still, could themselves have peeped and seen my brain go round, they might as wise have lodged a bird for treason in the pound. Himself has but to will, and easy as a star, look down upon captivity and laugh, no more have I. And now we have Jamie on our organ to play special music. This is Schmücke dich, o liebe Seele by J.S. Bach, which means adorn thyself, O precious soul.
Thank you. you, Jamie.
And now a reading, a poem by Maya Angelou, probably her most well-known poem, Still I Rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. My talk this morning is entitled Constrained and Sustained and Still We Rise. I've recently watched all three seasons of Ted Lasso. I had been aware of the show for some time, but I'd been put off by the moustache and the fact that it seemed to be about sport. Though I admire physical grace, I really don't care about all the winning and losing and fighting over a ball. I'd been missing out. Ted Lasso is a gift. It is a gift that slowly unwraps. When one of the characters, Danny Rojas, says, "Football is life," I like his joy, but I really don't connect. Football isn't my life. Turns out, though, that in Ted Lasso, football is a metaphor for life. Turns out that Ted Lasso himself really doesn't care about all the winning and losing either. He cares about community and people being their best selves. He's probably a Unitarian, though that doesn't get mentioned in the script. The thing that struck me most about Ted Lasso, though, was that women were allowed to eat. Not only eat, but enjoy their food. In the early times, maybe episode one or two, Ted Lasso brings Rebecca some fancy sweet biscuits. I tense a bit, waiting for the judgment or for her to put them politely to one side. That's what women do with indulgent treats. Through my mind pass images of women and food on screen. This isn't a scientific study, but what I see is either thin women nibbling salad or sipping soup, or fat women eating food with calories and misery. Not Rebecca. Rebecca bites the biscuit, pauses, tastes the biscuit, pauses, closes her eyes, and relishes the biscuit. And that's it with judging the biscuit. Oh, the freedom, the relaxation, my tension evaporates. Unless we forget about the biscuit, Ted brings Rebecca a biscuit every morning through all three series. She continues to eat and enjoy. No eating disorder develops. Enjoying food is just normal. Sometimes she eats salads too. Football is a metaphor for life. The thing with the biscuit is a metaphor for what constrains us and what sustains us. In her enjoyment of food, Rebecca is unconstrained and she is sustained. This past week, Friday the 8th of March, was International Working Women's Day. The day has its origins in the suffrage and labour movements of the early 20th century in North America and Europe. It was largely a communist celebration until the 1960s, when second wave feminists took it up. This year's theme is Count Us In, and is about valuing what women do. In particular, it's about pay equity. International Working Women's Day themes over the years have been about equal pay, equal economic opportunity, equal legal rights, reproductive rights, subsidised childcare, and the prevention of violence against women. Can we tick any of those things off as universal achievements for women? We have pockets here and there. Equal pay, still working on it. We are at an 8.6% pay gap in this country, which is a lot better than much of the rest of the world. Reproductive rights, currently going backwards fast in the land of the free. And after some progress recently when abortion was taken out of the Crimes Act, I say, let's not get comfortable here. Subsidised childcare, somewhat in this country, but it is still expensive to go to paid work. The end of violence against women. New Zealand has one of the highest rates of gender-based violence in the world. And just to further constrain us from making progress on any of these fronts, there's the co-option of International Working Women's Day by capital. You may have been enjoined to spend money this past week to celebrate International Women's Day, to celebrate being a woman. Consumerism is not going to help with equal pay or violence and harassment, and it is certainly not yet time to celebrate equal economic opportunity. Working women are constrained both culturally and economically. Culture and economics are inextricably entwined. For me, Rebecca and Ted Lasso relishing a biscuit is a sign of cultural power for women. Without the cultural constraint of body policing, Rebecca is sustained and she can rise. Rebecca's biscuit is a sign of cultural power and a metaphor for economic power. Power is the ability to act. We all have it, but we do not all have it equally. Women are constrained from exercising power by body policing, by violence and harassment, by economic deprivation. I pause at this moment to bring into this story issues of class and collectivity, and to acknowledge the millions of women in the third world for whom food is something that they don't have access to. Rebecca is one person. It is tempting to see her as an individual, to see her power as individual power, to see the answers as middle class answers, for a middle class woman to be sustained by food and by her individual access to economic resources. But let's continue with the lessons of community that we find in Ted Lasso. For women in Ted Lasso are friends with each other. Solidarity among women is not exactly a new concept. Feminism has been around in waves, at least since Mary Wollstonecraft wrote A Vindication of the Rights of Woman in 1792. You can find it in the early Irish Christian Church and in many other cultures around the world. Patriarchy, colonisation, and capitalism have worked hard against gender equality, against collectivism, and against solidarity. And so we find ourselves here, fighting atomisation, inequality, and violence. There is something subversive about Ted Lasso. It is fiction, after all, the place where the best truths can be told. In Ted Lasso, men don't expect the women to be rivals. Men accept women supporting each other as if it is the most normal thing in the world. Through the prism of Ted Lasso, we can see that economic and cultural constraints are not individual problems. They are collective. Women in Ted Lasso support each other. Men in Ted Lasso support each other and support women. Collectively, we can create a new cultural and economic world where we are constrained only by our obligations to each other, and where we are sustained physically, spiritually, culturally, and economically. So, in the frame of International Working Women's Day, what is our current project? One practical thing is right before us. Care and support workers in Aotearoa New Zealand are currently campaigning for pay equity. For more than a year, unions and employers together have worked through a rigorous pay equity process. They have systematically proved and measured the undervaluation of care and support work relative to male-dominated work. Thousands of hours and many resources have been devoted to this analysis. Unions and employers are ready to make pay equity happen for 65,000 care and support workers. The government just needs to honour the pay equity process, value care and support work, and fund it. And we in this congregation can write to the government to call for them to do so. The project of creating a new cultural and economic world shaped by beloved communities has many parts. This is one of them. Let us rise. Amen. Now I invite you to say with me the words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Okay then. So I have closing words and then a karakia to close. May we see all as it is, and may it all be as we see it. May we be the ones to make it as it should be. For if not us, who? If not now, when? And the karakia. Ngā hia hia ai ki te timatanga, ka kite ai tātou I te mutunga. You must understand the beginning if you wish to see the end. We will now have a postlude from Frank, and after that there is our discussion groups. There is a question which I think John will put up on the screen, which is, this is the question: what constrains you, what sustains you, and how does this play out in community for you? It's after the postlude. So Frank will now play us Balmaske by Amy Beach. Thank you. Thanks, Frank, and thanks to Jamie as well. Can we have another round of applause for both our musicians?